This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, July 20th, 2025. First things first, first priority.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. I have to get the Android alarm sound for everybody else. You got the Apple one there. We'll get the Android one too to include everybody because you know you love that sound. Your alarm goes off in the morning, yeah? Your eyes open, maybe reluctantly. It's a new day. What is your first priority? When your feet hit the floor, without even having to think about it. What drives you when you get up and go? Now, our bodies have a way of setting our priorities without consulting us, right? When you have to use the bathroom, the first priority becomes really, really clear. When you're hungry, when you need to hydrate in the heat of the summer, when you need sleep, the priorities are very simple, yeah? But the thing that makes humans different from animals is that we have this other part of us that's not solely driven by physical instincts, right? We have a soul, we have a will that has deeper needs than just the physical drives of our bodies. And so let me ask again, when the alarm rings and your feet hit the floor, besides the bathroom and coffee, that's an important one for me, what is your first priority? In this new season together, you know, we've been talking about first things first. So far we've talked about first steps, first call. And today, it's the first priority. And the big question is simply this. What is our first priority as followers of Jesus? And what are the things that compete with that? You could make a case for a lot of different teachings. I bet a lot of you right now are thinking, I wonder what that number one verse is. I wonder what that theme is. I wonder what that thing is. You can make a case for a lot of different stuff to be up there, to be at that priority for us as followers of Jesus. There's a lot of great scriptures and teachings of Christ himself. But I would say if I had to pick the most all-inclusive, overarching theme that kind of covers all those different bases, I would say, based on what Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is our first priority as followers of Jesus. Let me read a scripture for you and then we'll pray. This verse, just one verse today, is the key text. We'll have a lot of other scripture references, but this is going to be the main one for us. This comes from the most influential and lengthy sermon of Jesus that we have recorded in the Gospels. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. You might have heard of it, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Jesus was right in the middle of that sermon talking about the different things that we as people worry about, that we worry and get, you know, concerned with. And then he says this. I'm sure you've heard this verse before. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There it is right there. Seek first his kingdom. Now, because this is a shorter scripture, I just want to slow it down for a minute. Because our lives tend to operate at a really fast pace, even just to get here on a Sunday morning. I mean, we're playing softball all day, and then we're getting home, taking care of business, and we wake up the next day, here's church, we got to serve, we got to do this, we got to do that. We've got things we know how to do when we get home, go from here. Slow it down a second. And I want you to really take in this scripture, the living word of God, breathed out by his Holy Spirit, given to us for our edification, to train us in righteousness, to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Slow down. And as we pray, we're just going to kind of prayerfully meditate on this one single verse. I want to invite you to close your eyes and just take a posture of prayer. And take a deep breath. In and out. And I'm going to read this scripture just a few times. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He might just highlight a single word. He might point you in a certain direction with this. Just open your heart and mind to his word. Jesus said to us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God Almighty, we quiet our hearts and we receive your word this morning. Speak, your servants are listening. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Thank you, Lord, for your living word. We give you all the glory in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I do think this one simple phrase, I could pick several other verses to be competing with this, but I think this one phrase, the kingdom of God, I think it really contains all the other themes you could think of as the priorities for believers to focus on. And I think that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Our first priority is to seek his kingdom. So now what we need to do is just figure out what that means. What does that actually mean? What are we talking about, Lord? What do you mean when you say that? What is the kingdom of God? What are we talking about when we say that? If you study the Gospels and all the things that Jesus taught, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the four Gospels, you will find... The first time I discovered this, I was a little surprised because this wasn't always like a key theme that I focused on myself. It was insightful for me to realize this. But Jesus talks about, teaches about the kingdom of God again and again and again in the Gospels. When you read his parables, time after time, he is sharing parables about the kingdom of God in a direct way or an indirect way. This was his favorite topic. Really, this was Jesus' central message when he came on the scene and began his public ministry and began to preach and teach. From the moment Jesus began that public ministry, the Gospels tell us this. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The entire Sermon on the Mount that we just mentioned is essentially a collection of teachings on how to live for the kingdom of God. Even after his resurrection, when everything is accomplished and he's getting ready to return to heaven and ascend back to the Father, Jesus is still teaching his disciples about the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about what? The kingdom of God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, mention the kingdom well over 100 times. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that God's kingdom is our priority. So again, what is it? I think the easiest way to understand this big idea that's found throughout the Bible is looking at Jesus' prayer. You know the Lord's Prayer? By the way, that's also in the Sermon on the Mount. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A lot of us know the King James Version. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right there, if you want a simple way to think about God's kingdom, think about it like this. God's kingdom is where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. You're like, what's the kingdom of God? What are we talking about? It's when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus preaches and teaches the kingdom of God, he's basically talking about heaven on earth. Isn't that an amazing thought? Heaven on earth. There's some songs about that are not talking about the same thing that Jesus was talking about. The thing is, we know from our experiences and reading world history and watching the news every day that a lot of times life on this earth is just the opposite of that. Frankly, a lot of times we see hell on earth. Let's be real. Different times and seasons, we might have lived through that, experienced that, seen that. We know that a normal day on planet earth throughout history does not look like heaven on earth. It's the opposite. Largely because the unredeemed human heart does not do the will of God. Does not do the will of God. We don't often do the will of God on this earth. And in the present spiritual war, in the series before this, Pastor Alan and Carrie, they talked about the spiritual warfare, right? In this present battle we're in, the powers of darkness and the devil do not do the will of God on earth. And so the result is that so many things on this earth, great and small, are iterations of hell on earth rather than heaven. We know what that looks like. Wars, sickness, death, poverty, injustice, oppression, selfishness, betrayal, abuse, lust, greed, broken homes, broken minds, broken lives. We know what that looks like. But what does heaven on earth look like? What would that be? What would that mean? When you go back to the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, heaven and earth were not these disconnected realities. They were not at odds. Earth was an extension of God's glorious eternal kingdom. Creation was the overflow of God's infinite love and life and power. Humans were made to dwell in perfect, unbroken fellowship with our Creator. Now stop and think about that. Could there be anything better? We were made to reflect God's reign on this earth. We were made to live in harmony with God's creation. Look at the abundance and the fullness and the beauty of the Garden of Eden and the way it was made in the beginning when God said, "It is very good." And there you see heaven on earth. There you see the kingdom of God. It's God's righteous reign. And us, as his creatures, getting to live and enjoy and experience that reign with him. So when you boil it all down, Jesus came to restore that which was created in the beginning. He came to reconcile humans with their creator. He came to reconcile earth and heaven. So Jesus, listen to this, the Son of God, took on flesh, shed his blood on the cross, and conquered the grave to bring the kingdom of God to earth once again. If you don't understand this, a lot of the Gospels are just going to feel like random words and situations and stories. But this is what Jesus is doing and showing and revealing and achieving for us throughout his ministry. In all that Jesus did, he revealed the kingdom of God, his teachings, his miracles, his healings. Jesus restored and forgave and healed and called and freed and transformed people to show us that in him, we all have free access to God's kingdom again. Come on. Come on. What could be better? And so we live for God's kingdom. We live for the kingdom. We become kingdom people when we turn back to our Lord as the true King and we allow him to reign in our lives. How many of you know that being a believer is not just about saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. It's about saying, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my Lord. He is my true King, my sovereign. That's living for the kingdom. This is what discipleship is. It is receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord and letting him teach me the way to really live. Somebody once said, we know about letting Jesus be our Savior, but do we know about letting Jesus be our teacher? How many of us just stop there? It's like, okay, I got that free gift, and I'm just going to go on with my life. But do you know that Jesus came to be our teacher, to be our model, to say, hey, you've been trying to do life this way. How's that going for you? Let me show you the way to really live. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. We know about that hell on earth. He said, but I have come to give life to the full, abundant life. That's the kingdom. That's the life Jesus called us to. That's why he said it's your first priority. Listen, the good news is even better than we think sometimes. Because I think we just stop at step one. And we're like, that's awesome. That's great. But he's like, listen, I got so much for you. It's not just, Jesus did not just die to get us into heaven. He died to get heaven into us. Come on. Last week we said, there's more. This is what we're talking about. We're not just wait until we die. Okay, I'm saved. Now hurry up and wait until I die. No, it begins here and now. He says the kingdom of heaven has come near. So he's not just talking about where you go when you die. He's saying right here, right now, I have something for you that is going to blow your mind, that is going to change your life. That's what we get to live for. Okay, so for now, our mission on this earth is to be disciples who make disciples who are living for the kingdom of God. At the end of the gospel, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gave these marching orders to his people. We call it the Great Commission. This is another one you probably heard before, and if not, check this out. You're going to want to hold on to this if you never heard this before. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus said right before he returned to heaven, and he's giving over his mission to the disciples. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What are we talking about? What are we teaching? What are we following? Well, we're following the way to live for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what he wants us to live for. That's what we are being discipled into as followers of Christ. The church gets to be, listen, this is so awesome. The church gets to be an outpost of heaven on earth. You ever go to another country and you have to find out where the U.S. embassy is? Or you're in this country and you visit an embassy of another nation? That's like what the church is on earth. We are an outpost of the kingdom of heaven on this earth. We are an outpost of heaven on earth. That is so awesome, folks. How much is there to discover in a life like that? What a great adventure. What an awesome purpose to live for. Think about that. We get to live in whatever place we're planted, seeking earnestly that the community around us would begin to look more like heaven. You ever think about it like that? We get to partner with God and find situations. Sometimes it's your own life. Find situations that look like hell on earth and seek that this thing, this situation would begin to look more like heaven by the power of his Spirit working through us. That's what Jesus came when he came on this earth and did his ministry. He brought heaven to earth. that's what we get to continue to do throughout the world. And we know it's not finished yet. We know that the finality, the completion is yet to come, but we're living for it here and now, earnestly seeking it. That's why we're called to feed the hungry and care for the poor and welcome the stranger and visit the sick and the lonely and the imprisoned. It's why we pray for the lost and the hurting and share Christ with them. We're here to look around us and say, okay, Lord, we're not done until these souls are won for you, and this looks more like heaven, like you intended it to look from the beginning. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So there's one more thing to hit here. There's one more thing. Seek first. Talked about the kingdom, kind of understanding what that's about. How about seek first? That word seek in the original language, so you know the Bible, it was not written in English, just to let you know, and it was not written in King James English. Some people think that. This is the original Bible. This is the only Bible. The original language of the Old Testament was Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic, and then in the New Testament, the original language was Greek. Okay? My microphone's coming off. Sorry, guys, back there. I'm driving them crazy. In the Greek language, that word seek is the word zeteo. Can you say zeteo? It's not too hard, right? If it was harder, I wouldn't try to say it. I can't do the crazy stuff, but that one we can do. Zeteo is an earnest, intent, purposeful seeking. Seeking in order to find. You know that we can look for something half-heartedly, like, let's see if we can find this. But that's not zeteo. That's not the seeking that Jesus is talking about. Let me give you a true confession. When my beautiful, wonderful wife asks me to find something for her, I am not always a, serving, godly, devoted husband in that regard. You know what I'm talking about? She might ask me to find a pair of shoes or keys or a phone or something at the store, something in the closet, something in the minivan, something in the purse. I'm not venting up here. This isn't a venting. And I'll try. I want to be helpful. But more often than not, I look and I come back with the wrong thing. Or empty-handed, and I just kind of wait for her to go and find it on the first try, and then I'm like, why'd you ask me to find it if you already knew where it was? You know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness here? I don't know. Okay, maybe not. The wives are shaking their heads like, yes, we know what you're talking about. But this is one of the humorous joys of marriage, isn't it? But sometimes we seek the kingdom like that. Sometimes that's how we go about seeking the kingdom. That's not seeking first. That's not first priority. That's not zeteo. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus is talking about seeking to find a treasure that will absolutely change your life. He's talking about something you've got to have, like stopping at nothing until you get it. He's talking about seeking as if your life depends on it, because your life depends on it. Paul wrote in Romans 12:17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The Message translation paraphrases it like this: God's kingdom is not what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right and puts it together and completes it with joy. When you understand the kingdom that Jesus came to give us, free access to, we're talking about the stuff of eternity here and now, perfect communion with God, healing, restoration, forgiveness, freedom, true satisfaction, abundance, faith, hope, and love. When you know what you're talking about, then you know that the kingdom of God is the greatest thing we can possibly imagine, the greatest treasure in the universe. It is. And it's free. And it's available here and now because of Jesus. And yet so often, when my feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm not thinking like that. I'm not feeling like that. This morning when I woke up, right? I wasn't playing softball all day, God bless you guys. But it was a long day with the kids. And I had to get a little hard-fought hallelujah to get out the door. You know? I had to be like, okay, we're doing this again. It's Sunday. Let's go. I needed a little bit of help. God always gives it. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement to which we belong, we're part of the Global Methodist Church here, he said when he was commenting on Matthew 6:33, singly aim at this, that God, reigning in your heart, may fill it with the righteousness above described. And indeed, whosoever seeks this first will soon come to seek this only. Once you've tasted it, once you've seen it, once you've experienced it, you're ruined to everything else. You know. Doesn't mean you don't drift. Doesn't mean you don't stumble. Doesn't mean you don't need that kind of course correction every day. But this is the treasure. This is the thing. This is the priority. This is what it's about, the kingdom of God. And there's simply no competition when you see it rightly. When you actually see what the kingdom is, you realize, dude, everything else, all those other treasures, that's just stuff that moth and rust and thieves, you know, break in and steal and destroy. Like, it's all going to pass away. This is the one thing that lasts forever. This is the one thing we're meant to live for. The thing is, we struggle to see it rightly because there are so, how many of you know this? There are so many other priorities competing with this. So many other things competing for our attention. Folks, we live in a dangerous and difficult hour. I mean, we live in a time and a place that has more abundance and decadence than probably any other civilization in history. And we have more access to information than anybody else in the history of the world. It's mind-boggling. But we live in a time that is dangerous and difficult to be a true follower of Jesus, and the devil knows it. I mean, don't you think it just feels like we're in a time when the influence of the world feels almost inescapable? It's like inescapable. It's like because we are constantly connected to the kingdom of this world, constantly connected to the kingdoms of this world, like an IV drip, 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 just flowing through our veins, just everything we're taking in all the time in our minds and our hearts. It's not just how we spend our time. It's the real estate we give our heart to. All these other things that are influencing us. We're being shaped. We're being formed to another image other than the image of Christ. All the time. It's impacting our walk. It's impacting our children, our families, our lives. All of us are being formed by something, and the question is, what is forming you? What is shaping you most? Is it Jesus and his kingdom or everything else? Our biggest pitfall these days is we buy into thinking that Jesus is just kind of like one other category in our lives. It's like, I got to get my finances right and get my work-home balance, work-life balance. I got to get my health right and my diet and exercise. And then also here's Jesus, and he's another, my spiritual life. We think that we just kind of need to add a little more God to our busy lives. I just got to fit a little more Jesus in there and just keep on going with my life, right? And if you treat Jesus and his kingdom like that, you will not discover the life that he has for you. It's just not the way it works. Somebody said it like this: Christ will either be Lord of all or he won't be Lord at all. You know, that's how it works with Jesus. Because he knows that anything short of that is not his kingdom. And he wants the best for his children. He wants the best for you. He wants the abundance and fullness of his life and kingdom for you. And the only way to do that is say, you are Lord alone and Lord of all. Don't buy into that lie that Jesus is just one little piece of your busy life. And if you just, I'll squeeze in a little more God here, you'll miss the kingdom. You've got to bring it all to him. And then let him build your life. Doesn't mean you have to become a monk or a hermit and literally like read your Bible 24/7. Some people have done that throughout history. It's been pretty cool. But most of us, we have these ordinary lives to live. And we just got to let Jesus be with us in every part of that life. And the kingdom will show us how to do that. Your kingdom in my job, your kingdom in my home, your kingdom in my marriage, your kingdom in my singleness, your kingdom in my family, your kingdom in my leisure and recreation, your kingdom first. And you will find the best life. You will find the life that is truly life. You will find that as you seek that first, what did he say? All these other things will be given to you as well. So, reality check. Heart check. This one's been hard for me too, because I've been busy trying to get a lot of things under control the last couple months with all the changes in our lives, right? And I've just found myself pulled in a lot of directions, right? Just, oh Lord, we got to take care of all these things. And oh man, it's time to mow the lawn again. Holy smokes, baby. All these things. But where are you at with this? How is your heart and soul with God and his kingdom? Is the eternal kingdom your greatest treasure and aim? Your first priority? Or have you found that the world has just slipped into your heart and you're being pulled in 10,000 different directions? That your center of gravity is just, so slightly drifting and shifting. It's like this gravitational pull out there that tries to pull us away from Jesus. And the enemy likes to watch us just gradually, without even noticing it, just gradually the center of gravity shifts from Jesus in the center to now he's just kind of out there in orbit, one thing among many things. Let's go back to that alarm clock to finish this. Let's go back to the alarm clock, starting your day. C.S. Lewis has this great quote in his book, Mere Christianity. He says this: the real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like a herd of wild animals, like a stampede. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, the life of Christ, the kingdom, and so on, all day. Do you need a heart check this morning? Remember what Jesus preached. Repent. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has come near. Every day we wake up, every time we hear God's word, it's an opportunity to repent. Repent just means to realign my life with God, to turn back to him. Now, our whole life, you don't just repent once. It's an ongoing journey where as we walk it out, we got to constantly course correct. Constantly kind of compare my life to this and go, ooh, I think I need, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace to help bring this into alignment. I've gotten off gravity. I need that realignment. I take my car into the shop to get the alignment. I need that here too. I need the realignment. Turn to him today with all your heart, church. My friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, turn to him with all your heart. And if you know that you need that this morning, you need that realignment. Or if you're stirred, you're watching online, you're here this morning, and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never surrendered all of it. And you know he's speaking to you. Then as we pray right now, and we get ready to close with some more worship, we're going to close our eyes. I just invite you, if this is speaking to you, and you know you need to respond to God, just lift your hands high up to heaven. Just lift your hands and surrender to him if you know if you know Jesus is speaking to you, and pray with me. Almighty God, holy God, eternal God, we lift our hands high in surrender. I know your Holy Spirit is moving through this room and moving through people that are watching far and wide. Your Spirit is searching our hearts. And there's some people who are just raising their hands saying, Lord, that's me. That's me. And maybe even the tears start to come because we're acknowledging something that we've been just wrestling with for a long time, that we've been trying to share the throne with you. We're trying to kind of push you over and get a seat up there with you and kind of still hold on to control and all the things we want, all the priorities we want to have. And you're just asking us to graciously, humbly lay it all down and let you do your job to be the Lord, to be the King, so we can live for the true kingdom, the only kingdom that's going to last forever. Our little castles in the sand will be here and gone. Our cultures, our nations are going to pass away. Yours is the only kingdom that lasts forever. And we want our hearts to be set on that which is eternal. We want treasures in heaven. We live in a time and a culture, and yes, a place where there could be so many other things that would take our priorities and that do. But that is not the way of your people. We are here to say, Lord, your kingdom first. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven, come and move into my home. Heaven, come move into my work. Heaven, come and move into this sin I'm holding on to that I can't seem to shake, this addiction I have that I can't get free from. Heaven, come and move into this trial, this tribulation, this sickness, this struggle. Heaven, move into this distressed relationship. Come, let heaven invade. Let your kingdom come. We lift our hands in surrender and pray for salvation to come into this place and people to meet Jesus and respond to Jesus in this place. And as we worship you, Lord God, may we experience your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God's people say, amen. Would you stand on your feet and worship with us? If you need someone to pray with you, the prayer team is always in that back corner. They would love to pray with you. If you need to pray, I'll be up front. I'll pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. Worship the Lord this morning. Welcome his kingdom into your life to be the first.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.